You're listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental.
TMZ, oh my goodness.
I mean, what are we doing here?
I think he's the philosopher of football.
It's great that everyone can give their opinion.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Find me. Find me. I don't care anymore. So drain my bank account.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental. From the AT&T MLS studios in Midtown Manhattan, I am Andrew Wiebe, my partners in soccer, alongside Susanna Collins, Bobby Warshaw. How's it going? How you feeling? Everything good?
I feel great.
You feel great?
I feel good. I feel great. I feel wonderful.
Uh-huh. Bobby?
Feeling
yeah?
great.
Yeah? Okay. Look, we got a big show coming for you. Sam Stachel coming up in just 1 second. Guess what he's talking about? Inter Miami. There is so much news going down in South Florida right now, whether it is in Fort Lauderdale as it pertains to their stadium and training facility, or Miami Freedom Park, or those designated players and coaches and everybody else they need to sign. He'll be on in just 1 second with some additional news on Alejandro Pozuelo. We're talking wish list for U.S. National Team Camp, Ecuador and Chile up next. Paxton Pomykal, the newest homegrown star in Major League Soccer, will join us in the second segment. Of course, we got a packed mailbag to make up for the light ones. We've heard you. We've heard you. I know. You've been in the mail. You've been in the text. You've been saying,
give
why?
Give the people
yeah,
what
exactly.
they want.
We've been skimping. We've been skimping, and we're bringing Ben Bear in to do it on a Thursday. U.S.-Ecuador, 8 p.m. Eastern on this Thursday, a.k.a. today, the day we are recording the show. It's on ESPN2, Unimas, and UDN. We're not going to talk about the nitty-gritty because, of course, the game will happen, and then that will all be moot. But we will get to that in just 1 second. But first, I got news, Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
NYCFC, they got their striker. Or maybe. They got their striker. Brazilian forward, Heber from Croatia. But he hasn't played a lot of the number nine position recently. They're happy about it. He's got a good goal-scoring record. But there are some interesting nuggets here.
Well, the interesting nuggets I think you're alluding to are the fact that they say in the press releases, and Claudio Reyna refers to him as a center striker, but Andrew, from what we found, he hasn't played center striker since 2017. He has played mostly in the left wing. Basically, when you watch his film, the exact same way that Alexandre Mitrica plays on the left wing. So I don't know what else to add other than that.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I mean, it feels like a signing they've already made. And this is the signing that Domi Torrente is saying, we need this player. I need this player to reach our potential. We've got to get this player. Now, 25 goals and 38 appearances for the clubs. That's pretty good.
And he was voted in 2017-2018 the Croatian Attacker of the Year, Player of the Year. The translation was lost a little bit. And to provide some context on the Croatian league, he comes from roughly the second best team in the league. The best team in the league is Dinamo Zagreb. And another player from Heber's team got sold to Sporting Lisbon. So, you know, they don't send a ton of players on at his age from that team, but the top one went to Sporting Lisbon. The team above them, Dinamo Zagreb, sends players to the likes of Leicester, to Roma. So there are players coming out of the Croatian league to big clubs.
I mean, Luka Modric is a guy that you'll recognize coming out of Dinamo Zagreb. Decent player. Decent player. He is 27, but this is what they needed, Susanna. They've been talking about it for a long time. Now I guess we get to see.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. We just kind of have to wait and see, right? Because I saw the signing and I was like, I don't know a lot about this player. And it perhaps they know more than we do. I would like to hope that they know
you
more
would think than... Manchester City Scouting Network might know
than,
a little bit more.
More yeah. than we do. So, yeah, I mean, time will tell if this will work. But, you know, David Villa was the guy standing in front of the net putting the ball in the back of the net for you, and is this the guy that's gonna make up for all those goals?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They weren't kidding when they said they were going away
I
from the old
so.
Formula, right?
Yeah. So this is
27.
An indication of the direction they're going in. So
it's
I don't
a
know.
Win. It's a win now.
We'll
move.
See.
It's a win now move. We'll see if that works out. By the way, this week in MLS, international break leaves us with just 5 games. So NYCFC has some time to figure it out to get him integrated. They need to do so. They've not gotten wins at home, which is previously where they made their hay. Let's now talk to Sam Stachel, who is on the line. He had the opportunity to talk to Paul McDonough of Inter Miami this morning. Sam, what's up, man?
Not too much, guys. How's it going today?
Going good. Going good. So tell us all about it, Sam. What did Paul McDonough say? What did you take away from this conversation? What's the big news with Miami?
Sure. So a lot of different things that we talked about over the course of about a half hour. Obviously, Miami have been in the news this week for their stadium situation and, you know, looking like they're going to be playing in Fort Lauderdale for a couple of years before they go down to Miami potentially and open up a stadium at Miami Freedom Park down there. So that's been all over it. But I was kind of more interested in talking to McDonough about how he's building or working to build the roster and kind of his philosophy and his ideas and timelines for signing players and bringing in a coach and how he's going to treat designated players and the academy and all of that stuff. So there's a lot obviously going on with Miami. He's got a couple people in with him on the technical staff in Kurt Schmidt, Ziggy's son, who was with the Sounders for a long time and with the Galaxy for a bit there, and Nikki Budalich, the former GM in Orlando. A lot of interesting things going on. Kind of the main takeaway for me, obviously Miami are going to spend. That's no big surprise, right? But what I was really interested in was, okay, in Orlando, Paul McDonough was the GM when they became into the MLS. In Atlanta, he was in their front office when they came into MLS. This is the third expansion team he's working on. In Orlando, they went out and got a name player in Kaká, right? A big guy who could come in, excite the fan base. Everyone knew him. In Atlanta, they didn't do that, right? They got three designated players who weren't as well-known. Obviously, all three came out and produced pretty well, right? Almirón and Martinez and Villalba. So they became stars in Atlanta for that expansion team. So I asked them, I was like, are you guys going to go out and get a name player for Miami? Or are you going to go more that Atlanta route and maybe go three younger DPs? And he said he didn't quite know yet. But what he told me is if they go the route that Orlando went and go out and get a guy like Kaká, or maybe not quite like him, but with a big name, that he needs to make sure that they surround that player with guys that are maybe not his equals, but kind of near his level, at least, because he felt like in Orlando, they weren't really able to do that with Kaká, and that sort of almost put an unfair burden on him, and that affected him negatively on the field, off the field, all that stuff. And I thought that was kind of an interesting thing that he mentioned, an interesting dynamic that'll play out, and something that, as he pointed out in our conversation, would be easier to do now because of targeted allocation money. It would be easier to go fill out a roster and create a deeper roster with guys kind of more at that level than it would have been then in 2015 before TAM existed. So that was kind of one of the more interesting things that he spoke about, but a lot to really dive into on that conversation.
So if I can give Paul some advice, he should just go to the MLS Instagram account where the likes of Antoine Griezmann and others are down there dropping emojis and basically saying, please, please, I want to come to Miami. I would like to be in South Florida. Is there a timeline here? Sam, I know they're going to scout. They're going to do their due diligence, but they have an opportunity perhaps even this summer to make that signing. How quickly will things come together?
Yeah, so they're in the process now of kind of trying to move forward on some signings. It could happen relatively soon, within a month or two, potentially this summer. You never know how these things are going to go, but they're identifying their targets. He said that they're not in any active negotiations yet, but, you know, they're working the phones, they're making contacts, and they're scouting all over the place. McDonough has been stationed primarily in South Florida with all of the stadium stuff going on and the work he's having to do with that. But he told me that Schmidt and Budalich have both been traveling around pretty extensively internationally, scouting players. So I would expect them to probably get a guy in over the summer. But we'll see. And then in terms of the coach, I think they're going to be a little bit more patient there. Coaches become available later on, right? So he said as long as they have one in by October, that's kind of what he's shooting for. So that's sort of the timeline on that.
Did he utter the legendary phrase, we'd like to play attractive attacking soccer? Because everybody says that.
I think verbatim, in fact.
Gotcha.
So yeah, he wants a coach that can do that, just like everyone else in the world, right, who doesn't want to play pretty soccer. But one thing he pointed out about the coach and what they're looking for is that, you know, it has to be a good cultural fit, too, and it has to be a good fit for the locker room. So he wants somebody that has experience managing big personalities and big-time players because they'll likely have those in Miami. He doesn't want to hire a guy who isn't well-schooled in those things because if you do that, that has the potential to kind of derail a locker room then. Obviously they had plenty of success in Atlanta when McDonough was there with Tata Martino and everything he did with that group. He actually mentioned that him and Tata still talk and text weekly almost at this point, even though McDonough's been in Miami since last August, I think, so 8-9 months now. So that was kind of interesting to me too, is that he put a pretty big emphasis on, you know, the guy that we eventually hire needs to have experience managing big time personalities and big time players. And they really need to understand kind of the culture down here and everything that goes along with being in Miami. And they need to be able to play that kind of attractive attacking soccer that you mentioned, Luis.
David Beckham, as a recruiting tool, did he say anything about that? Is there kind of an underlying, you know, message here that, yes, we're going to spend money, and yes, it might be easier to get the guys we want because we just have David call them?
He mentioned, I don't know if he mentioned Beckham specifically. I asked him a question about that, and he said the number one recruiting tool they have is being in Miami. Like, that alone is just huge in terms of every international player of a certain renown has been to Miami. They want to be there. They love it, right? And so that's the number one thing. The second thing is, of course, the ownership group and the money they're willing to invest. Beckham's, of course, a part of that, right? But the third thing is also the coach, right? And he mentioned, you know, Tata and Almiron. So when Atlanta were signing Almiron, you know, it was pretty far along, I guess, from what McDonough said, by the time they announced that Martino was going to be the head coach. But once they did, they were able to have Tata make that phone call to Miguel, and that sort of put it over the edge, right? So he basically said that it wouldn't be a deciding factor necessarily for a head coach, but of course it would be a bonus to have a coach that could come in and really have some cachet with a certain type of player and help being able to help recruit and get signings like that over the line.
Sam, let's transition from obviously South Beach to Canada and talk about Toronto FC. Alejandro Pozuelo, he's coming soon. Have you heard anything about him and how he may help out Greg Vanney's team?
Yeah, so he's actually, I believe, arriving tomorrow. I just spoke to Ollie Curtis this morning as well, Toronto's GM. So he's arriving tomorrow, going to get acclimated over the weekend, start training maybe on Saturday, definitely be in training on Monday, and potentially debut next Friday against NYCFC. So he'll be getting into the group. Obviously, he brings a creative attacking presence that they haven't had since they sold Jovinko and Vasquez, right? And, you know, I've talked to a couple of different scouts about him, and kind of the word that they gave me was that he's a decent similarity to Lodeiro, is what they said.
Oh.
From Seattle. So basically, he might not have, like, the top-end speed to really drive behind the defense, but he likes to find those pockets of space a little bit behind the back line, underneath the forwards, even a little bit deeper, and he's really at his best when he can find a guy who's running behind a back line and play him through from those pockets of space. So what does that mean for Toronto? Well, that probably means that they want to go out and find a guy that can really stretch a back line, right? They've obviously been trying to sign a TAM winger or two, potentially, for quite some time. They're still working on that, according to what Ollie Curtis told me this morning. They want to get it done in the primary window, and they have a couple of targets that they're engaged with right now. So we'll see if that's able to get done. But, yeah, Pozuelo should add a new dimension to their attack and a new dimension to their team that's been missing, even while they've gotten off to a good start in MLS, though not necessarily in Champions League.
So before we let you go and hang out with Lyle and do what you're doing on this day, you say they're going after that TAM player, and we've talked about this for, it feels like, months by now. It doesn't feel like the ideal time to go out and make that signing with the way the windows are working. I mean, there's got to be a limited pool here that Ollie Curtis can choose from. Where does this player come from? Could it be within MLS? Could it be a trade? Or does he have to go outside to make that move?
I think they're mostly looking outside at this point. You know, trades can materialize quickly, so I wouldn't rule that out. But I asked Ollie about that and just kind of, you know, the timing aspect of things, because most transfer windows around the world are closed at this point. So if they go and sign a guy from a team, well, that team's probably not going to be able to replace that player, which makes it much more difficult to sign any type of contributor, right? You might be able to get a guy who's not really in the coach's plans, or you might be able to get a guy who you know, maybe is coming out of contract or something like that. But if you're trying to get a guy who makes a meaningful impact on his team now, right, and who wouldn't want to get that type of player, then you're going to have a more difficult time doing it this time of year. Maybe you'll have to pay a premium. Maybe you'll have to go through a big-time transfer saga like they did with Pozuelo, although, you know, for a TAM player, I'm sure it wouldn't be quite that dramatic. So, yeah, it definitely makes it harder. I think it limits it a little bit, but they still want to get it done in the primary window to kind of give themselves the most time possible with their best squad out there to, in their minds, hopefully return to the playoffs.
still have not been beaten, Toronto FC. I know they played one less game than everybody else, but Josie's back and Pozuelo is in, and this could be a different team down the line without CCL holding them back. Sam Stachel, national writer for MLSsoccer.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at Sam Stachel. Of course, all his work is on the site. Sam, thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Have a good one.
Andrew, I want to offer an answer to the question you just asked, too, on whether it's an ideal time to sign a TAM player. Because you're right, the transfer windows are closed, but it also feels to me like we're far enough into the season where players know if they're in the coach's plans. Players know if they're going to play a role in that team in the upcoming season, which means this is a time when a lot of players say, all right, I want out. And that there's a lot of talented players who just don't fit into whatever their team wants to do, and they're going on the market right now. Because maybe when the transfer window is open, coaches say, oh, I want everybody in. I want to see how it works out. Well, those things are starting to get solidified, which means a lot of players out there are disgruntled or want to move or want a new opportunity. So it might actually be an opportune time to find a TAM level player.
Interesting. Joao Plata jumps out to me on that note. Seems like things haven't really worked out for him. Of course, he knows Toronto well. It didn't work out that well for them the first go around, but maybe it could this time under new leadership. Let's keep it rolling here, guys. Of course, Nacho Piatti hit the 100 mark. My guy, Nacho. The goals, 65th and 66th against Orlando City. He is among the fastest to that mark. I want to know, he's the ninth, by the way, fastest to it. 127 games it took to get 100 combined goals and assists. Number one, you guessed it, Sebastian Giovinco did it in 95. Robbie Keane in 96 is the only two under 100. This is the big question here. Nacho Piatti, chronically underrated. Montreal Impact fans, the Quebecois, all up in the hot take hotline slash mailbag saying, you guys never talk about this guy. And I thought I loved him. I thought I expressed my love for Nacho Piatti on a regular basis. And apparently I have not done it well enough. So now we sit back and we do what we must, which is give Nacho his due. Why, Susanna? Why don't we appreciate him?
Why don't we?
People appreciate him? Because we do. I know we do.
No, we do.
But the proverbial
they I want to make that very clear. Also, I want to give a plug for my Flow Show bracket in which Nacho Piatti's hair is currently in the running. So I'm digging the man bun this year, Nacho. Digging it. Good luck. Anyway, no, he's just sublime to watch, isn't he?
Yes.
But I think that one of the biggest reasons that we don't talk about him or he's not in the conversation more is unfortunately he's up in Canada.
Are we saying it's a language?
Yeah.
Is there a language barrier here? A cultural barrier?
I don't know. It just seems to be a geographical problem, and it's something that I wish I had a magic wand to fix it, because he is so deserving of our attention and our accolades and our praise, because he's one of these players where if you remove him from the equation in Montreal, where are they? You know, like, he is that important. He is that important to that team.
Oh, thank you, Susanna.
Oh, Bobby.
That is the perfect leeway into what I want to say here. Because to build off what you just asked, what would Montreal be without Piatti? And guys, we talk a lot about the most valuable player in MLS and all American sports. Nacho Piatti is objectively, and this to me isn't even debatable, objectively, in terms of using the term most valuable player and the word valuable, Nacho Piatti is the most valuable player to his team. He, in terms of what a player adds to a team, in terms of what the team would be without the player, it is Piatti, and I'm not even sure it's that close. If you look at LAFC, if you were to take Carlos Vela off that team, they're still a playoff team. You take Ladero off Seattle, the Sounders are a playoff team. The Galaxy and Zlatan, Atlanta and Joseph. The only two players in this conversation who are even close are Piatti and Darwin Quintero. And for me, though, it's Piatti still by some length. Piatti isn't just fantastic. He is objectively the most valuable player in this league and has been for a few years.
It's tough, though, because you're right. We don't see him in the same light for some reason. Mm-hmm. When you talk about the biggest stars in this league, almost nobody, including us, who are we hyping up? It's almost never Nacho Piatti.
Right.
And I don't know why that is, other than to go to the same old tropes, which are like language and location and Montreal kind of being on that bubble ground between playoff team and contender. They've had big moments mm-hmm. in the playoffs. And even with that, even with the production, he's like 17 goals, 10 assists a season, basically.
I honestly think it comes back to geography. I really, really do. I just think it's
Impact fans are
yes.
nodding. emphatically.
Like you mentioned Carlos Vela with LAFC, right? Like, this is a guy. I mean, Kalen Carr was on here on Monday saying this is our, like, hands down the best player in MLS. So, you know, you have, what is more important? The guy who's the better player? Who's more valuable? The guy where, you know, he's got this, like, Carlos Vela has a good team around him. And then there's a guy like Nacho Piatti who, like we just talked about, you remove him from the equation and, you know, all of a sudden you're looking at Montreal like what's more important?
Can I make a point here? We talked about Maxi Arruti being the perfect signing for Montreal.
Sure.
Why was that? Because he gelled and would fit well with Nacho Piatti.
Well said.
Alone, he wouldn't have made the difference. And I don't think that's not crazy to say. But with Nacho Piatti, complimenting Nacho Piatti, it is the difference. And by the way, we're about to find out how valuable he is next year, because this is his last year. So if you have a chance to watch Montreal, turn it on.
Yeah.
Andrew, I do want to tie another piece in. You joked with Sam about coaches and technical directors always saying we want to play attacking, exciting soccer. But this is the reason. And not to say that Montreal hasn't, I guess actually exactly what I'm saying is this, but Montreal has been successful times. It has rarely been attacking and exciting. And that's why you have this trope of saying we want to play that way, because it gets people to talk about us. And we talk every single week about what can we say about a team. And some teams, LAFC, they play different formations. They do cool things on the ball. They have different tactics. Same with Seattle. Montreal, it's impressive the defensive and counterattacking foundation they've built, but it's hard to talk about it in new ways every single week. So I don't think it's just location. I actually do think it's just generally the way the team plays, and it does circle back to what you joked about earlier.
It's a really good point.
It is 401-206-0MLS. ExtraTimeInMLSSoccer.com. Who needs more love? I would love to hear from you. We have a list of teams here. We have to get to Paxton Pomykal, so we're not going to get to it on this show, unfortunately. We'll save it for this Monday, I hope. Before we get out of here, the U.S. national team played 8 p.m. tonight against Ecuador, ESPN2, UDN, UNIMAS. Quickly, Susanna, what do you want to see from this camp? At the end of it all, what do you hope we're saying?
I'm so excited for this game, because I feel like this is the opportunity for us to finally turn the page from Trinidad Tobago, our failure to make the World Cup. I'm so sick of that creeping into the conversation still. And we have a fully integrated squad right now. This is the first time we're going to see, you know, some of the veterans and the young guys together. Pulisic's in there, Weston McKennie. They have spoken, they've gone on the record saying how impressed they are with the amount of information that Greg Berhalter has provided for them. This feels like an organized group. I was excited about what they did in January, but this team right here feels like this is the future. I'm looking ahead. I just want to put all of that talk to bed and just look ahead, because I feel this is going to be our team. This is what we're going to be looking for this summer. And so I want there to be a new dialogue surrounding the U.S. men's
national team. I love it. Negativity be gone.
Yes.
And that's what I'm looking for. The 10 that were not in January, who didn't have the month to understand on the field, daily training sessions, game ops.
Mm-hmm.
How quickly can they catch up? It seems like Berhalter's sending video. He's talking to them. He's laying the groundwork so that when we come in against Ecuador and Chile, better competition than last month. We should all say that. They're ready to roll. I hope we see those 10 ready to roll. I hope we see something coherent. And I think we will, because I trust Greg Berhalter in that sense.
Andrew, I wish we could have Susanna go last on that one. How do we come after that? She summed it up.
I mean, I don't know. We just got to walk away.
I'm keeping an eye on this a little bit more specific, Weston McKennie, because we all know how great he can be. We all know the ability that he has, but there's also this weird truth where if you've watched Schalke this season, Weston has not necessarily played well, and partially is because nobody on Schalke plays well, and then when they were playing under their manager Tedesco, it was a horrible team to watch. But there's also a reality when Weston McKennie hasn't exactly impressed in the last 12 months, and we have all this hype, all this idea that he is one of these three or four guys that we are going to build the next decade around, and yet he hasn't played well in a year. And I think that's true about a few players on this team that we ignore for a variety of reasons, but I just want to see Weston McKennie play well, live up to all the conversations we have, and how he plays in this Berhalter setup.
You can see the smile on his face. You can see the smile on Pulisic's face, on Adam's face. Yeah. Everything coming out of that camp is positive right now, and that is a change, as you said, Susanna, and it is wonderful. We're going to break. On the other side, Weston McKennie's FC Dallas Academy teammate, Paxton Pomykal.
Are you watching the games or just looking at the stats? Email the show at extratime@mlssoccer.com, tweet at extratime, or text the Hot Take Hotline with any questions or reactions.
Pomegal chasing it down. Pomegal winning it in offensive territory. The cross, the pass back. Acosta!
Back now in extra time, driven by Continental from the AT&T MLS studios in Midtown Manhattan. Paxton Pomegal will join us in just 1 second, but there's a lot of American 10s getting playing time, doing well. Who do you like? Who are you paying attention to? Who are you kind of dreaming about? Saying, you know, in a couple years, man, this guy could be the one.
I've talked about this guy on several different platforms on MLSsoccer.com because I do know him personally. Gianluca Busio.
Hey.
Gianluca. For extra time listeners and viewers, this is my cousin's best friend. I have family in Greensboro, North Carolina. I went down there. Gianluca was probably about 9 years old, and I watched him play
Early scout.
For me, he's had me down there.
Yeah.
I think he scored like 9 goals in a game, and he was just that good, like heads and shoulders above every other kid out on that field. And it's so awesome to see him getting starts for Sporting Kansas City. The way that Peter Vermees speaks about him, and in my conversations with him, number one, he's just a really nice kid. Like, this is a guy who calls his mom after every single game. He's still so connected to his family back home. That's such a priority for him. But Peter Vermees always speaks about his soccer IQ, that this is a kid who sees things that other players do not. And he's 16 years old. He steps into big game situations and is completely unfazed by it. And obviously having the personal connection.
Is he in the show flow? Is he on the bracket?
He certainly is.
Those curls.
I got to stay impartial, but you know, there's part
of me. Maybe somebody's hoping for it.
Keeping my fingers crossed, because that fro is something
it's
special.
Wonderful.
But he's awesome.
Before we get to my guy Paxton.
I'm keeping an eye on Sebastian Legette. It's a little questionable whether he's going to be included, 26 years old. But
I was gonna say, how old is he?
It still doesn't feel like he's fully hit his stride because of the injury. And I do think that if we are going to put our best 11 players in the field for the national team, it would help to have him out there. And almost to a certain extent that maybe we move other players around, i.e. Christian Pulisic, out wide to get Legette on the field.
I want to establish right now that I told Bobby before the show that I was going to choose Sebastian Legette. But you're right. I agree with all of that. I love that answer. And now we're going to talk to Paxton Pomegal, who, of course, has an answer himself. Paxton, he is on the line now all the way from Frisco. How's it going, man? How you doing?
Good. How are y'all doing?
We're doing really well. I just want to jump in on this because we're having the conversation. We're listing young Americans, central midfielders, maybe 10s, that we like to watch. Your name came up, but I wonder who you like to watch. Who's that guy for you?
Yeah, I think that Georgie's been doing really well this year, and last year especially. He had a really good January camp, in my opinion, and he's a friend of mine, so I enjoy watching him play.
All right, Georgie Mihailovic of the Chicago Fire. Let's get to you. You're now in the first team. You've been there, but you're really starting to get minutes. You've had Luchi Gonzalez in a couple different roles here, certainly with the academy, but now as a head coach with FC Dallas.
Yeah.
How has Luchi changed? Is he different between those two roles?
No, I think a lot of the things that he preaches and his philosophies stayed intact between the academy and the first team. Obviously, the talent gap's a little bit different, so we're able to explore the philosophy a little bit differently because it's from the academy to the first team. So, but I think his overall like tactics and viewpoint on the game has pretty much stayed the same. So him coming in was kind of easy for me to make the transition because I already knew what he wanted.
Paxton, we talk a ton about the players that the FC Dallas Academy produces. What is it about that system that has done so well?
Yeah, I think just the way that our first team implements the academy with them. I mean, today, even in training, we had guys from the USL team and from the academy team come out and fill in gaps with guys and injuries and things like that. So I think that we're not just like, we don't differentiate between first team and academy. We're one club, and it's all the same thing.
USL is new this year for FC Dallas, and we've been beating that drum for you guys for a long time. Obviously, the club wanted it. They put the money in. You've had a couple years here where you really could have benefited from those minutes.
Yeah.
How is it going to help those guys behind you? What do you see from them already?
No. I think that having a USL team is huge. Ultimately, players need games, and we lack that. Second team the past few years, and for a guy like me that was not really breaking the roster, it would have been nice to get games, but ultimately we have it now, so guys on the roster that aren't really getting minutes, they can drop down and play meaningful games with the USL team. And I think that's going to be important for their development.
Who's the guy right now that maybe we don't know the name of, or that we should know the name of, that people at home should be ready for? The next Paxton Pomykal, maybe the next Jesus Ferreira, maybe it is Jesus. Who's the guy down there that you're really impressed by?
At Dallas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you guys saw Thomas Roberts a little bit in preseason, score a goal against Seattle, but I think that he's a really talented attacking midfielder, and that if he gets an opportunity this year, he'll do really well.
And Paxton, can I take the next one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Paxton, I want to know, you had to wait about 2.5 years after you signed your MLS deal because there wasn't that USL team. You had to be very patient. What were those 2+ years like for you from the time you signed your professional contract to really what we're seeing now with you getting into the starting lineup?
Yeah, no, it's hard. I mean, it's a battle every day. You're fighting with guys that it's their life and it's mine as well. So I don't want you guys to think otherwise. But yeah, I think that it was tiresome a little bit, but at the same time, you have to have the right mentality and just keep pushing forward. And you see, like, a guy like Reggie had to do it his first year, and then Lash played every single game pretty much. So it's just people just be patient, wait your time, keep working day in and day out, and the opportunity will present themselves.
What's a position that you prefer? Because Bobby and I were talking. We've seen you with the U-20s on the wing. People talk about you maybe as more of a 10 than we see as an 8. You can play so many different places. Sometimes that's a blessing. Where do you want to play? Where do you like to play?
I like to play on the field, to be honest. It doesn't really matter to me. I prefer in the midfield. I think that I'm more impactful when I'm around the ball, and I think the midfield is the best place for that, and I like to defend as well, so I prefer the midfield, but if I need to play winger, I can play winger or 8-10, wherever.
I'm not surprised to hear you say midfield, because we talk about this around the office in the studio often. When I watch you play, I see a player, and like you've played, we should put the context, you play winger for the under-20 national team for Tab Ramos. He has primarily had you wide, but when I watch you play, I see a player that would rather get on the ball and connect passes rather than going at someone, that you'd rather facilitate the game than play that killer pass. And just the part of the game that makes you happier, that you enjoy more. Was I seeing something there, or was that just a little lucky?
No, I think that that's a valid point. And also I think that the way we played in qualifiers, it allowed me to be like a free winger almost and be able to come inside and link with the midfield. I think that Tab gave me a pretty free role in that aspect. So we needed to fill that left wing position, and he gave me a lot of freedom to come inside and combine and be that linking guy as well. So I don't think I was just isolated on the wing trying to take guys one-on-one. I was doing that, but as well as coming inside and combining. So yeah, you're on the money with that one a little bit.
What's Lucci tell you to do? In his words, what would your role be right now with FC Dallas?
Well, it depends on the game. I mean, this weekend, obviously, we have a couple midfielders out, so the roles might change a little bit and personnel might change. So every game's a different task and a different aspect, but ultimately, just be involved and get on the ball for the build play, I think, is important. And to have me get on the ball to be able to build out and just get forward as much as I can, yeah. It's a game-by-game thing for me, especially, like I said, with guys being gone, because we might have to play out of position, different positions. So it just depends on the game.
What's your favorite drill in training? I mean, when Lucci sets up exercises or games, which part or which game do you enjoy the most?
I love small-sided games. I love like a 7v7, 8v8, like pretty tight quarters, small-sided, being able to shoot from anywhere and just a 1-2 touch game. Yeah, that's probably my favorite.
Strengths, weaknesses? Your own self-evaluation right now, as you break into the first team, where would you put those?
I think my strengths would probably be passing, work rate, touch. Something I think I can work on is positioning defensively. I think my right foot can use some work always. And then I'd like to get forward and score some goals this year, too.
Got that first assist. Congratulations on that, by the way. Getting to the end line.
Thank you.
I want to just ask you this. I'm taking soccer off the table for you. Not really, Paxton. We want you to stick with it, obviously. But I'm taking it off the table. What are you going to turn to as an athlete? What do you think your strengths as an athlete would allow you to do? Were you a multi-sport guy growing up, or was it all soccer?
You feel like a second baseman to me.
I was never a multi-sport. It was always soccer, always growing up. I mean, I'm from Texas, so football is all obviously a huge deal down here, but I was never really into any other sports besides soccer.
I always hear like lung busting. I always hear work rate. Where does that come from? Is that just effort on your end? Have you always been a guy who just, you know what, put me out there, I can run for days? Where does that come from?
Yeah, I think that if you don't have the ball, like, the game's not as fun. So obviously I want to work to get it back and to be on the ball. So I think that's kind of where it stems from. And then you need all 11 guys to, even the guys on the bench as well, you need everybody to give their best effort. So I try to do that not only for me, but for my teammates.
As we mentioned, you were with the under 20s at CONCACAF qualifying. You guys beat Mexico in the final. You were largely dominant throughout that qualifying tournament. What clicked for you guys as a team? What went so well over those few games?
Yeah, you look at that team, we have a ton of talent. You have guys like Alex Mendez Crossi. You got Nick Tadbury, I think, is hurt right now, but you got a bunch of talent in that. And then Nick wasn't even at qualifier. So we have a lot of guys competing for little spots. And I think that the competition aspect of it pushed us and really made us come together as a team, because we knew that there were guys at home trying to be going to the World Cup, because ultimately when we qualified, it's life or death. And there is a lot of talent in this U20 cycle. So it's going to be fun to watch who makes the rosters and who goes to the World Cup, and especially how we do in the World Cup, more importantly.
Right now, Tab and the boys are in Spain. You, of course, are in Dallas with the MLS side, yeah, Waiting for the game this weekend. It's got to be hard for you, I imagine, but an even bigger decision is coming for FC Dallas. Have you talked to Lucci or anyone at the club at all about being released for that tournament in Poland? What are your expectations?
No, I think that we're just going to see when the time comes, and they've been pretty transparent with me about being open to letting guys go to national team. And I think hopefully that they make not a good decision, but we talk and figure it out. And I don't think they're going to hold me back personally, but
in the world,
I think Lucci's actually expressed that they're not going to hold me back, but I don't want to quote you guys on that one.
Is that breaking news? Andrew, do we have breaking news on the show?
Yeah, we're going to do some Google searching right now to make sure that Paxton's got that quote right. Look, Tab in the World Cup is something we're all looking forward to as U.S. national team fans. And of course, I don't know if the baby gnats is the right word here. It feels like this team, with that talent you mentioned, has a chance to build on what other teams before you did and maybe even compete to win it. Do you guys talk about things like that? Do you say, hey, look, our goal is to win this thing? It's not just to compete. It's to actually try to bring home the trophy.
Yeah, no, our goal from day one was not to qualify, not to win CONCACAF. Our goal was to win the World Cup. And I think that we have a lot of talent and the guys have the right mentality going in. And yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be surprised with how far we go. And I think we can win it.
One of my favorite parts about watching you is what a little bit we're hearing right now, Andrew. It feels like is this confidence, but also the fact that you were never overly confident throughout your academy days, your waiting. Is that something that you tangibly try and work on? Is this balance between confidence and willing to learn and grow? Or is that a little bit more of naturally who you are?
Yeah, I think that's just more personality. I mean, some guys have a bigger personality and more confident personality, so they're going to be, might come off a little bit more cocky, but in the end, I think it's just how the viewer takes it. I don't really try to perceive myself in a certain way or show myself in a different way than who I am. I just try to be myself, and hopefully people take that the right way.
Tyler Adams told us a couple of years ago, Paxton, that Naby Keita was his favorite player, who was at RB Leipzig at the time. Of course, now Tyler is at RB Leipzig. What European leagues or teams do you watch? Are there players that you're trying to steal from?
So I always, growing up, I was an Arsenal fan. Still am an Arsenal fan. I love the way that they played growing up, and that's kind of how I've tried to model my game a little bit. Not really after one player, but the style of play and the 2000s, early 2000s, the way Arsenal played. So I think that that's a good example of how I model my game when I was growing up.
Now that you say that, I totally see like an Andre Arshavin or a Tomas Rosicki resemblance in the way you go about the game and the way you glide on the field.
I kind of like the Aaron Ramsey comparison. Any of those landing for you here, Paxton? Or are you thinking that?
Yeah, all those guys. So it's great to be comparing all of them.
I don't know if you've seen this. I kind of think you probably did. It's a sport of the internet and you're a young guy. You've been compared recently to Frankie DeJong. The hype train is taking off. Where's your mind right now as you start to see those things, as the publicity and the expectations ratchet up around you and your career?
No, I mean, I don't try to look into that too much. I mean, I'm just here to play for myself, my family, and my teammates. So at the end of the day, I'm going to do the best for all those people. And however the fans or any media sees me, that's their business. But obviously, it's humbling to be able to be compared to such a great young talent in the world like that. But at the same time, like we're early in the season, and I just got to keep doing my thing.
Have you stayed in touch at all with Weston McKennie or Chris Richards? What do they tell you, if so, about their experiences in the Bundesliga?
Yeah, I keep in touch with those guys. I was actually talking to Chris earlier because they're at national team, and I talked to them. They're really happy with where they are and what they're doing. So I think it just is a player specific thing to be able to stay in MLS or go to Europe. It just depends on the guy and the situation, but I think they're really happy over there, and that'd be something I'd be willing to do in the future. I don't know. Yeah.
Have you ever doubted your decision to sign with FC Dallas? You look at Weston, do you ever have like FOMO or Chris? I mean, obviously Chris signed and then he moved on, or is it just kind of like, you know what, I made the right decision for me?
Yeah, no FOMO at all. I'm very happy with where I am right now, and I'm really happy with the decision I made, and yeah, no regrets at all. I'm moving forward. You can't have regrets.
Obviously, though, you have to understand that part of the system here, part of FC Dallas's professed path, is to potentially sell a player like you on. Have you spoken to anybody about that? Have there been communication about what a timeline might be, what that decision might be like, whether you should be prepared for that at some point?
No talks have been done like that. I think that just the coaching staff and I, whenever the opportunity comes or whenever that happens, we'll speak down the road. But for now, I think that we're just focused on the season, and ultimately, we just want to do the best we can this year, and I want to have the best impact I can for the team. So that's really where our focus is now. I mean, my focus also in May for the World Cup, obviously. So no talks like that, no.
That was a good answer. That was a really good answer to that question.
Yeah, but if Arsenal calls.
Arsenal calls, yeah. Weeby and I made an agreement before the show where he could ask that question on your potential future, but I got to ask this question. When we watch your games coming up, how will we know that you are staying after practice and putting in the extra hours to continue to get better? What you've already alluded to a couple of things, but what's the part of your game that you're most focused on and improving to get to the best of your ability?
Yeah, I think the final pass for me is something that I'm really striving to do. And I think as an 8 or a 10, you have that in your arsenal, being able to play that last line penetrating pass. I think I had a couple in the first game and the second game, but just keep improving on that. And then, yeah, if you see goals and assists, then all the training and preparation is paying off. So
I can think of some FC Dallas
and wins as well.
Yeah, wins are
not
important.
Only me, but the team. Yeah.
Yeah, wins are important. I can think of some FC Dallas players in the past who understood the final pass. The Magic Unicorn, Mauro Diaz, David Ferreira. You were a fan of this team before you played for this team, at least the first team. Who is your favorite FC Dallas player of all time?
My favorite FC Dallas player of all time? Oof. I don't know. That's a tough one. I grew up watching, like, Kenny Cooper, and he was always a big influence of mine because he was, like, the big striker at the time and scored a lot of goals, so I might say Kenny Cooper for that one.
No Mauro? No David Ferreira? I like the Kenny shout.
I mean, I played with Mauro, so it's a little bit different in that era. And then Jesus is like one of my friends, so it's kind of weird to say his dad. But yeah, I think I'm going to stick with Kenny Cooper.
Now, honestly, Dallas, while we're talking about former players, you wear the sacred number 19. You wore the jersey number that had been held by Bobby Ryan, and it might be the most sacred number of any club in the league, and they have given that honor to you. What is it like to wear that jersey and to wear that, what's the right word here, Andrew, that
not know, just to, honor. to honor the legacy, but also, Paxton, my understanding is that you asked for that and you went and got permission to wear that number.
Yes. No, I think, like I said, Bobby's a really big influence of mine as well. So you can add him to that list up there. But I think that it was important for me to speak to his widow and his kids and everybody at the club to get the permission. And they were very, very open with it. But the honor of being able to wear his number and keep his legacy going on, I think is something that's going to, you're going to look in 30 years and some new homegrown is going to be wearing 19 and his legacy is going to live on. And I think that's a cool thing.
There's also a legacy being built right now. And of course it's been going on for a long time and it's the homegrown sort of identity of FC Dallas. And there's been not a big switch, but a really conscious switch. Lucci is the head coach. You know, the Hunts have said, we want to play more young players. We want this to be a team that you guys have opportunities in. And whether you go elsewhere or stay forever, that's what we want the core of the team to be. How does it feel to be a part of something like that? To know that it's not just a club that's built on foreign signings or big money, but it's built on the backs of you and your friends and the kids that you see now coming up, and you will be a big part of that.
It's really cool. I mean, I like that our club has an identity, and I think that we stick to it pretty well. I think we have one of the most homegrowns in the league right now, and guys are playing meaningful minutes for our team. So I think it's important that not only our team feels that way, but from ownership to staff to players to academy to front office, everybody feels the same way about who we want to be and what we want to do. And I think it's a really good thing.
Soccer is one thing, but you have a life outside this game. I know that it's your focus. Don't get me wrong. We're not questioning that, Paxton. Practice is over. You're in your civilian gear, let's call it. What are you doing? Where are you heading? What's next?
my Marvel shirt.
Yeah. What's next, man? Uh-oh. I think we may have lost Paxton. Uh-oh. Come back to me,
man.
Can you hear me? No, we miss you. Give me the answer again. What are you up to after practice?
Okay. I'm about to head home and then go play some video games with Reggie, probably do some SNHU, some school. And then some of my friends are home from college on spring break, so I might hang out with friends tonight.
Nice. What game do you play?
Oh, it depends. We're normally into shooter games like Fortnite or Apex or just very general games.
Andrew, the better question is, what are you studying? Did you pick a major? What direction are you going with school?
This is my first class. So I graduated high school online last summer, and then I took the semester off in the fall. So I'm taking my first class. So I'm not really in a major specific class yet. So we're kind of just doing my basics. No, not we. I'm doing my basics right now, and then down the line, we'll figure it out.
There you go. That's the question from the Stanford guy. Bobby Warshaw, thank you for joining me, a former FC Dallas player himself. Paxton Pomacle doing his thing as well. Paxton, thanks so much for joining us, man. Good luck going forward.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me so much.
All right, that's Paxton Pomacle. We're getting out of here. We're going to the break. On the other side, the mailbag with Ben Bear.
Are you watching the games or just looking at the stats? Email the show at extratime@mlssoccer.com. Tweet at Extra Time or text the Hot Take Hotline with any questions or reactions.
Here's Goretzka, pulls back for Lewandowski, in there to make it six, he can't! Alphonso Davies can, the teenager with the goal, Bayern 6, Mainz 0, Alphonso Davies on the score sheet in the Bundesliga.
Back now on Extra Time, driven by Continental in the studios here in Midtown Manhattan, the AT&T MLS studios, I should say, into the mailbag, 401-206-0MLS, Extra Time at MLSsoccer.com. Ben Bear is here, grinning, enjoying life, just the way we like him. Look, there's 5 games this weekend, Ben. You're the MLS fantasy professed.
Yeah,
I've
been in Bobby the first 3 weeks.
Okay, but that's not the measurement, right?
Like, it is the measurement. That it's very objective. Who has scored the most points so far this season?
Gotcha.
I have.
Okay.
So I'm better than him.
If you're not a member of our league, you should do so. Every Monday, we break out the black trash bag of signed jerseys, and Dave Goss sticks his hand in there and grabs him out. I think he will be back on Monday to do the honors. He is currently in Columbia scuba diving somewhere.
That's what he does.
Yes. He's a very cultured individual. He's a traveler.
Big fantasy week. But yeah, you're getting back to what you're saying. Big fantasy week. This is going to show how good the good people are. Okay. You only got 5 games. You got people away for international break. Are you good at fantasy? We'll find out this week.
Well, you set your lineup. I find that out every single week.
We know it's not good.
What are you guys looking for this weekend? What are you watching? With such a truncated slate, you get an opportunity to really dig in and sink your teeth into something, Susanna. What are you looking at?
Dive deep. LAFC, RSL, grudge match, baby.
I remember that one.
Grudge match, baby. Yeah. Especially RSL coming off a proper shellacking last week, and LAFC kind of rolling. I just think this one could get ugly for RSL, but like in the way that you can't look away from a big wreck, like that's kind of how I'm feeling about
Somebody
it.
Somebody should mark Demir Krylock. I'm just, you know, just based on past experience, well, LAFC should do that.
He's basically the only attacker they had this week. So.
Oh.
Is he an attacker? No.
A lot of guys away for international duty, red cards. Just, they're pretty depleted at this point.
Yeah, like I said, could get ugly.
Could get ugly.
I'm here for it.
Uh-huh. Here for RSL? Sorry, I couldn't help myself. Ben, what are you watching?
I'm going to watch FC Dallas, Colorado. Obviously, I watch every game, but FC Dallas, Colorado. FC Dallas are going to miss Guerrero and Acosta in the midfield, so I'm interested to see the two players they're going to put with them. It could be two other teenagers along with Paxton Pomegal, Brandon Savagna, and Edwin Cirillo potentially, so that'd be interesting. Colorado basically is their full team, even though it's international break. They're only missing Diego Rubio, so it should be interesting.
And Kellen Acosta returning to Dallas.
Yeah.
Right? His first
time. That's a good storyline.
He played FC Dallas, but in Colorado last year. So his first time back in Frisco.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look at Marco Fabian. Mm-hmm. I liked Brendan Aaronson last week. I liked that he got his opportunity. It was thanks to, I'm not going to say bad luck because it wasn't. It was thanks to Marco Fabian driving his cleat into Johnny Russell's chest. Bobby, let's not bring it back up, man. We can disagree on that one. We can disagree. That was a red card. But where will they play him? Will Fabian be at the point, or will they move him up a little bit more? Will they find a place for Brendan Aaronson? I want to see him continue because he had such a good game, but he's still a young guy. He got his start. He did well. Maybe that doesn't mean he continues on, but Philly have had a tough start to the year, and Columbus Crew have been extremely good defensively. They will not have Zach Steffen. He's out with that injury. They won't have Will Trapp. They won't have Giassi Zardes, but do they sit back on the road and say, you know what, we're going to be unpenetrable? Can't come at us. Gaston Saro is the goal scorer now. So
they're also onto their third left back now with Will and Francis also international break. I think Aaronson's going to start because you have Warren Craval is on international break, is on international duty with Guyana, and Derek Jones is with the U23s. So you kind of almost have to play him at that number 8 position. Unless you're going to put Elsinho, but I don't really see him in that.
Yeah, Bobby would put Elsinho on all 11 spots if he could.
I'm going to keep my eye on, yes, I would. I'm going to keep my eye on New England hosting Cincinnati Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern. My eyes are just glued to everything Cincinnati does right now. I mean, it feels, and this is one of those scenarios where I can't believe the words coming out of my mouth, but it feels like Cincinnati are almost must watch TV, at this point. How are they going to play? Are they just going to keep drilling teams on set pieces and sitting deep? And it's not fun to watch, but it's dramatic and it's entertaining, and I am looking forward to seeing Cincinnati against New England.
By the way, Sunday, you might have recognized that Alphonso Davies goal call coming in. He got on the board for Bayern Munich. Sunday, Canada, their final CONCACAF Nations League qualifier to see if they're going to be in Group A as well as the Gold Cup. This is a big game for them, and Alphonso Davies is not available. John Herdman said he was in tears over that news. Bayern might let him go to Vancouver for this match. We shall see.
Herdman was in tears or Davies?
Davies. Herdman might have been in tears as well.
Also, it's out there that he might have got hurt on the celebration, so I was just watching it, and did he get hurt on the slide?
Yeah, by the way, he's watching it because you can watch this show on YouTube in case YouTube. You somehow needed that reminder. They play French Guiana, who are on 6 points. Canada are on 9 points. If Canada win, they're absolutely through. If they draw, based on the numbers here, because it's 6 points behind them, I believe they're through as well to the Gold Cup and League A of the Nations League as well. Let's get into your mail right now, and we start with a little bit of a dad burn, I guess, from Gary in Chicago, Bridgeview. He says, Andrew, do you ever think about how unlucky your son is because he will be the perfect young age to see the U.S. dominate the 2026 World Cup and then forever be disappointed by future results? That's pessimistic, man. But I have thought about the fact that he will be the perfect age in 2026. He'll basically be like 9 years old,
oh,
8 years
amazing.
Old. Yeah, he'll be so impressionable. Hopefully, Dada can get him into some games, maybe behind the scenes.
Hopefully, Dada can learn some math some one of these days.
Why? I did the math.
Okay.
It's a little slow.
I just want to make sure.
It's a tad slow there, all right? Dennis Ormson hit us up. He says, after weeks of beating the CCL fever drum, Friday's episode sounded like a eulogy for all the teams that got knocked out, but not a word about Sporting Kansas City still being in it. Not a peep in Monday's episode either. I understand that they have a tough task ahead of them with Monterrey, but if you're going to win this competition, you're going to have to beat the teams like that. If you're going to beat the topic like a dead horse, let's at least keep doing it while we still have teams still in it. Fair point, Dennis. Fair point, man. The timing just kind of screwed us up. You know, we come on Thursdays. The game was on a Thursday. Then you have Monday, and you're past it. They played an MLS game, yada, 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 yada. But bad news for Sporting Kansas City. Eric Hurtado, injured, out. Daniel Shalvey, injured, out. Long term, both of them, it seems, for at least a month and a half, maybe more. Now it's just Christian Namath atop that chart at number 9, which is, it's okay. Christian Namath has been really, really good. But what, God forbid, something happens to Christian Namath? This was Tyler Freeman?
Well, I'm looking at just the top three in general. It seems they're going to have to go with Gerso, Johnny Russell, and Namath throughout the next 3 or 4 weeks, or whatever, next 6 weeks, just those three, because Busio can't really play out there. They have Quaze, but we've seen Quaze. It's going to be tough for them.
Busio and Ben, Busio does play number 9 for the academy, or at least he has played number 9.
That's what he actually played at GA Cup last year. There we go. Yeah. So he played there, but I think that was mostly due to the talent around him. And I think they figured put another midfielder in there and then let him come back to get the ball. So I don't think that's going to happen with the first team.
Well, if you're just thinking about who is next on the depth chart, because they really only have two number 9s on that roster, Busio is an option for them.
You have been the truther on CCL, at least bringing the truth our way. I don't think I phrased that quite right. Dennis is saying, hey, don't count us out. I mean,
well,
he is right.
But yeah, of course he's right. Yeah. No, there's be optimistic. Get behind SKC. Every single MLS fan should be on board this train. Now, listen, I am not hating on CCL fever. I just don't have it or have not been afflicted the way you all have. You know,
like it's a clean bill of health.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So I'm not, like I said, I'm not hating on it. Everybody should care and watch and support Sporting Kansas City. I'm just saying, if it all blows up, I told you so.
Yeah, that is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Here's a question from the Toronto Duck. We love you, man. Your team gets a corner kick in the 90th minute. The game is tied. Which three MLS players are you putting in the box to score, and who's the one putting the corner kick into the mixer?
Are we just getting one player?
Present?
I think, yeah, sure. Take a player.
I'm taking Air Haglund.
Air Haglund? Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm taking Zlatan.
I was going to say.
I'm taking, if he's healthy, I'm taking
how many
Zlatan.
Goals has he scored off corner kicks?
I don't know, but I'm still taking him.
Yeah,
Taking him. Yeah. Bobby, who are you taking? Past or you can go past if you want.
I'll keep it present. I'll probably take Matt Hedges in the air.
Oh, that's good.
I was going to go, if that's it's fair. Not Zlatan, I'm going other side of LA, Walker Zimmerman.
Yeah, that's
big,
a
big
shout.
Z. Yeah, I think, how about him?
He went Hedges. I was like, his partner for years was way better at him.
How about Pipa serving?
I like that one.
I like that one.
Diego Valeri is another option there. Our producer Anders is in my ears right now saying nobody's going Kai Kamara in the box.
Oh,
on that one. He's a good choice. He's a good shout there.
He's better when it's like on a counter. And
my guy Kendall. Kendall Waston.
Kendall Waston's a great shout as well.
That was the other guy I was going to go with.
Yeah.
Good question there from the Toronto Duck. We have a person from Vermont. I thought it was Jillian, but now it looks like Villain. Villian? It's a problem for me. Villian says they'd like to nominate a rating system for our panic system that we started with Atlanta United. The system score is 1 to 5, with 5 as the highest panic level. Number 1, DC level panic. We start slow, but we shall get there in the end. Number 2, galaxy level panic. We've got all the pieces, but we're going to let it fall apart at the death. 3, FC Dallas level panic, when you start your season as Supporters Shield favorites, then systematically bury your playoff hopes after midseason. 4 is the Toronto level of panic. Meteors fall slower than these guys and leave less of a crater. Wow. And number five is the revolution level of panic, where your expectations have been crushed to the point of ontological crisis, where your only hope for survival is to banish any thoughts of soccer from your brain due to chronic ineptitude. Wow.
Oh.
Wow. She or he is from Vermont. I don't know if it's Jillian or Villain or Villian, but I appreciate that email from there. And then we'll end here. Noah from Atlanta. Honestly, our fans are spoiled. Not that I particularly think that it needed to be said by the coach, but I think there's so much fear in losing. The one good thing that we have in Atlanta, that everyone is going nuts. Personally, I don't think Frank should be entertaining the negativity as much as he is, because when he gets defensive, that's when we start to feel like he has no idea what he's doing. I feel he is really lacking confidence in what he's implementing. I'm not sure if he's uncomfortable trying to get our guys to understand his culture or he's afraid of failing again. I'm still positive and willing to give him that chance, but there are things that are concerning.
Yes, Atlanta United fans are spoiled. You guys won MLS Cup in your second year.
Yeah.
Pretty obvious. The coach should not say that, but it's obvious.
All right, before we get out of here, Pity Martinez starting with Lionel Messi for Argentina. That's pretty cool. International break this weekend. Five MLS games. Go watch them. The coverage at MLSsoccer.com. Big thanks to Sam Stachel and Paxton Pomical. Big thanks to Carlos Fonseca, our audio engineer, and Anders Aarhus. Sorry, Anders. Almost screwed that one up. We're getting out of here. We'll see you on Monday, everybody.